come to worship, we should come with hearts that are grateful, hearts that are filled with thanksgiving, even if we're going through rough times, because we know that even through the rough times, God is with you. Mm-hmm. We may not see how he's working, but he's with you, and he's still working. So as we come today, let's give him our hearts. And in biblical language, what that means is we give him everything, our hearts, our soul, our mind, our strength. Are we willing to do that today? That the Lord is going to come back one day, right? And when he comes back for his church and those who have died in him, he's going to take us with him, right? Amen. We call that the rapture. And there's one thing that we better learn in the process. We better learn how to worship, because that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to repeat something that I say many times. If you have a bad voice, sing loud. It's good training for what's coming. And if you have a good voice, sing louder. All right? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lifting your name on high means to say, Lord, I'm going to shout your name to the world. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Thank you.
had to do the hand jive.
The Lord Jesus is the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords. He is here today. And what will we do before a king? We would bow and worship his majesty. Seated. You get a gold star today. Playing drums is like my exercise of the week. In light of our praise today, in light of the fact that when we come to service, we should come with a grateful heart, a good heart, that's already been with the Lord and prepared to worship. Psalm 100 tells us the attitude that we need to let the Lord cultivate in our heart. So would you read this with me, please? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Isn't that a great song? God is good, and all the time. I got to put my mask back on for a minute. Where'd I put it? You know, don't get old, because there's more times where when I'm out on the road, I'll get to the door of where I'm going and I say, I forgot my mask. So I have to go all the way back to the car and get it. It doesn't matter with age. One of the blessings of, we had great baptisms last week, for those of you who were there. Yeah. God's incredible grace. We baptized Kevin, Bonnie, and Chip, and Kimmy. But three of them have expressed the desire to come to membership with us. And in light of the social distancing and all, I'm just going to ask you to stand, right? First, I have certificates for you, all right? So before you go, I have certificates for you. So Kevin, would you stand? Bonnie and Chip, would you stand? These are the dear people who now want to be in fellowship with us, okay? And we are blessed. We are blessed because of that. They bring their own gifts, their own talents that God has given them to minister here. And our job is to pray for them. Our job is to come alongside them and help them use and serve and help them develop their gifts as time goes on. So membership is really a special thing. The early church, the way you became the member of that church was through the symbol of baptism, right? They didn't have certificates like we do today. There are some senses that we have to do it because the good old government wants to know if we have membership, okay? So what a blessing for us today to welcome Kevin, Chip, Bonnie, to the fellowship. We are blessed by you. Would you give them a hand, please? And then we're going to pray for them. Okay, let's pray. Father, the baptisms last week were so good. And this is all by your doing, your grace. And this week we rejoice in these three coming into membership. Father, what a blessing for our church. What a blessing to know these people. They love you, Father. And you are their Lord. They have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, and have expressed their desire to follow you. So right now I want to pray against any attacks of Satan. Pray, Father, that you would put a hedge of protection around them as they, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the direction of your word, as they continue to walk with Jesus in every area of their lives. Father, help us to be a blessing to them. Help us to encourage them. Help us, Father, to love them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Don't forget to congratulate them at a distance, okay? Later. You know, elbow bump or whatever, you know, you need to do. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Some of you who subscribe to the Billy Graham Organization know that Franklin Graham has asked that we pray and fast today for our country. Believe it or not, our election is a week from this Tuesday. And many of you may have voted already. We did. Please do not let the right to vote go unvoted. Use your right to vote. It's a privilege. It's a right. And the only thing I will tell you is you vote the principles of the Bible. In case you're interested, I still have up here the 15 or 20 major topics for each candidate. You can see which one supports or which one's against, and maybe that will help guide you in your vote. But please vote. We need to vote for our nation. For our nation, we need to pray for our nation, too. The other thing I would urge us to do, Election Day is not the end, okay? It is not the end. God's going to put in office whoever he's going to put in office. However, we need to be prepared either way, right? Does that make sense? We need to be prepared either way. Let me just define that a little bit. Whoever is in Washington will not detract us from being the church and proclaiming the truth, okay? There are many out there who want to. We're seeing it now in Virginia. We're seeing it in California. We're seeing it in a lot of states. Let me just say this. The government has no right at all to shut churches down, has no right at all to tell pastors what to preach, has no right at all for any interference. So I'm gonna, you know, we need to stand firm on that. I take seriously whether the candidate believes that life in the womb is indeed a person. I hope you do too. I stand firmly on whether the candidate will support post-birth killings. Both are infanticide, as far as I'm concerned. And you need to make up your own minds here. Don't let this opportunity pass by. We all, you know, have children and grandchildren that are going to be impacted by this election. But whoever gets in, we still need to be the church. We need to be passing our faith on to our children and grandchildren, despite who's in charge in Washington. Amen? Amen. Let's pray for our country, and let's pray for the church, okay? Father, we pray that people would start to look to your word, to your spirit, to you, for guidance on how to vote. Father, help us not to be governed by selfishness, by power. Help us to understand the purpose of government is to serve and protect. But Father, we pray for the candidates, for the presidency, the vice presidency, the Congress, the Senate. Father, that, they look to you for their wisdom. And Father, where there is discrepancy between what they say they will support and your word, may we take note of that. Because those issues are serious. So, Father, I pray your hedge of protection around this country. Pray that voters would vote according to your scriptures. I also pray for the confirmation of Judge Barrett this week, that it will go without incident. And, Father, we thank you for this extremely brilliant young woman who, Father, will do a good job on the Supreme Court. Protect her and her family. And, Father, would you bring revival to your churches? Help us to understand that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we need to be obedient to him in every case. And, Father, help us, through your Spirit, stand firm in the truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we come to the scriptures today, Doc, you mind if I use you as an example? Okay. I didn't talk to him before this. But as you well know, Doc had a heart transplant 2 years ago. Today? Wow. Looks good, huh? 2 years. He's a miracle, actually. He is an actual miracle. Right. Would it say that again? I'm not going to put that on the tape. But he's a miracle. Without this heart, unfortunately, somebody had to die to donate it to him. This young man died in an auto accident, and the heart became available. So he's got a new heart. Listen, we all have heart disease. Every one of us. I'm not talking about physically now. The doctors gave Tom a new heart. But God gave him a new heart the moment he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's some diseases that affect our spiritual heart. Remember how I defined heart before. A heart in the Bible means the entire person, his heart, his mind, his will. And there are certain things that cause clots, if you will, in the coronary arteries of our spiritual heart. And it all has to do with the condition of our heart. This is so plain, I almost feel foolish preaching on this today. But if you look at with me at Acts chapter 8, we're gonna look at four heart conditions here. The first one is going to be Saul, who we know later became Paul, correct? If you remember right, Saul was the one who held Stephen's clothes while Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel, for showing people the way to Christ. And so, the first heart condition that we have to look at and take a very honest look at it is a heart of hostility or a violent heart. Now, what do you think can make a heart of hostility? What do you think? Some of the things. Politics is kind of a symptom. But you know what's one of the biggest things? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness could give us a heart of hostility. Unforgiveness, arrogance, pride, those are the roots of all of this, right? They can give us a heart of hostility. That's where Saul was at this point. Look at the text with me. I'll bring you through this, okay? Saul approved of them killing Stephen. One day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through Judea and Samaria. This was war declared on the church by the religious people of the time. And they had the government backing, unfortunately, because the religious leaders were giving some false testimony that these people who followed the way were actually enemies of Rome. And so persecution broke out. Listen to me carefully. Wherever the gospel is preached and people start to come to the Lord, there's going to be resistance. There will always be resistance. God has sheltered us from this pretty much over the years, but we can see it picking up now, can't we? And I would say it's going to get worse. So a lot of the people in the church were scattered, but the apostles wanted to stay and protect the church in Jerusalem. But notice they were scattered through Judea, which was the county around Jerusalem, and Samaria, which is interesting because the Jews and the Samaritans hated one another. The Samaritans were half Jewish, half Gentile. So the Jews looked at them and called them half-breed, forgive my language, dogs. I mean, that's how deep the hostility went. It says, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to, what's the word? Destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged both men and women off and put them in prison because they loved Jesus. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. You should underline that. You really should underline that because, you know, they didn't do a woe's me or why me. They simply said, we have our marching orders. Jesus said, go into all the world and teach people what I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why I say to you, in any case, we need to be prepared for whoever wins this election, because that's what we should be doing. Philip, one of the waiters that was elected, man full of the Spirit and wisdom, went down to the city in Samaria. Whoa, that was unheard of for a Jew. Proclaimed the Messiah there. When crowds heard Philip and saw signs he performed, they all paid close attention to him and said to what he said, for with shrieks impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed were healed. I wanted to suggest to you that Philip is an example of somebody whose heart is obedient and loving. Obedient to who? To the Lord. And loving to who? The Lord and people. Listen, here's another thing that can block our spiritual arteries. I'm talking to believers now, okay? If our relationship with God is not right, if there's unconfessed sin in our life, If we're not walking with the Lord as we should, then our relationship with others is going to suffer. That makes sense? Now, the reverse is true, too. If our relationship with people isn't right, then our relationship with the Lord's going to suffer. All right? So one of the things that can cause a clot in the coronary artery, the spiritual heart, is having a heart that is not grateful, thankful, loving, and open. Philip shows us a heart that is willing to do the work of the Lord even through bad times. Even through bad times. Why? Because he loves people, he loves the Lord. But it came at a cost. And we're going to see what that cost was. Through Philip, God did some great things. Why? The signs and wonders were always meant to point people to Jesus. Not to glorify Philip, but to glorify God who sent the Son to die for sinners. So let's look at this now, okay? So there was great joy in the city. Where, what's the difference between happiness and joy? Is there a difference? What's the difference? Happiness is what? It's temporary, it's circumstantial, right? And joy is what? Joy is lasting. Joy comes from a deep-seated, resolved relationship with God. And it's not fake. What I mean by that is we don't go around with plastic smiles, you know, when we're going through tough times saying, oh, you know, everything's okay. No, we can feel what we feel and yet have joy that God has not abandoned us. We can have the joy that and Jesus promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. We may feel like that sometimes, but we always have to go back to the truth of the word to know he's right there with us. There was great joy in the city. People were getting saved. They were coming to know Jesus Christ. There was what we would call a spiritual awakening in Samaria, of all places. A lot of the Jews didn't like this. We're going to come to a third heart. Simon. Verse 9. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery. That could be translated witchcraft. The word, by the way, is pharmacopoeia. Pharmacopoeia. Because back then, a lot of sorcerers used drugs to invoke their powers, okay? He was practicing, this is demon stuff. You have to understand that. He practiced sorcery in the city, and all were amazed, all the people of Samaria. Now listen to me carefully. Satan is able to reproduce some of the miracles that God does. Isn't that true? He's a great counterfeiter. He is the great counterfeiter. Here's the difference. When God does great signs and wonders, he always points them to Jesus Christ. He always points them to his own glory, his own love for people. When people like Simon do their work, they're raising up themselves. They're doing it for greed. They're doing it for the headlines. They're doing it for the publicity. They're doing it for all the wrong reasons. How do we know that? Look at the last line. He boasted that he was someone great. He boasted. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God. How easily we're deceived." One of the things that can give us a blockage in our spiritual hearts is believing lies. Because of our sin nature, usually we're quicker at believing lies than believing the truth. Why do you think some politicians are successful? Why do you think some salespeople are successful? I'm talking about people who don't want to serve but are looking out for themselves. Why do you think that there. Remember those days there used to be somebody coming into town and they have this cough medicine they promised would, you know. Yeah, it was just alcohol, you know. If anything, you probably got cirrhosis of the liver. But, you know, we're so easily fooled if we're not careful. Dr. Spruance's son, some of you knew Dr. Spruance, he's with the Lord now. He had a son who worked in the counterfeit unit of the FBI. And I was talking with him one day, and I said, do you have to study all the types of different counterfeit bills to know a counterfeit? And he says, no, it's very simple. All we have to do is study the real one. Because if we study the real one, we know the counterfeit. It's the same thing for us. If we know the real one, Jesus Christ, and we know the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we yield to the Holy Spirit, we're going to recognize counterfeits right away. But it's so easy if we're not careful, if we're not guarding our hearts. We're going to talk about how to guard our hearts next week. But if we're not guarding our hearts, how easily we could be led astray. We really need to be careful. Look what happens here. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. God won. He won. But look at Simon. Simon still didn't get it. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Why do you think he was astonished? He wanted to do them, right? When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word, did I skip over here? There was, okay. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria to investigate. This was big news. This was bigger news than they've ever heard before. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. Why did God do it this way? Because God used this to show the Jewish believers that he's building a bridge for the gospel between them and the Gentiles, between them and the Samaritans, that the gospel is not to be monopolized, that the gospel is for the whole world. And this was amazing stuff. We're not done with Simon yet, so follow me. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostle hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Here's how Peter answered them. May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Wow. Be careful. You know, television can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. Be careful who you watch on television, simply because if you tune into some preachers or pastors, be careful if they start glorifying themselves. Be careful of their sales pitches, if I can put it that way. Please, the more you know Jesus and the more you know the Word of God, the more you know the real thing, the easier it's going to be for you to recognize the counterfeit, if our heart condition is right. Goes on to say, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of, what's the word? And captive to sin. It's a blockage in the spiritual heart. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. That's the last we hear from Simon. But it's a good lesson for us. After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. This is incredible. The Jews ministering to the people they hated and now loved. How God can change hearts. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the deserted road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now we have a heart that's open and seeking. God's been working here. This heart is open and seeking. He went from Ethiopia to go to Jerusalem to worship. This guy knew that there was something worth traveling for. This was not an easy journey, nor was it a safe journey. But he knew that he was seeking, and I don't know if he knew who he was seeking yet until Philip told him. But he says, on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Isn't that great? He's reading Isaiah, and he's saying, wow, there's something here. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. Just picture this. Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? Good question. Do you understand what you read? He says, unless someone explains it to me. Listen, if you ever think you don't need a godly teacher or a preacher, you're wrong. Because we learn together. How can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This is clearly talking about Jesus, right? In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from this earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of the scripture and told him the good news of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Now listen to me. Some people are scared by the Old Testament. I'm not sure why. You know, because some people wrongly think that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. It's not true. Same God, right? In the Old Testament, I want to suggest to you that in every book of the Old Testament, many times you can see Jesus Christ. Isaiah many times is called the gospel of the Old Testament. And Philip, through the power of the Holy Spirit, taught this man, and look what happens. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look here, there's water. Who can stand in the way of being baptized? We did this last week, right? He received Christ, and he says, I want to be baptized. I want to proclaim that I love Jesus. Wow. And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way doing what? Rejoicing. Isn't that a great picture? Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, I think that's the way you say, and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So I have to ask you today, and I ask myself, how's our heart condition? Yeah? Gee, Doc, correct me if I'm wrong. when cardiologists want to assess our heart, they do echocardiogram, right? They do an EKG. They'll do a stress test, you know, with dye to see if all the arteries are working right. The plumbing, as Doc calls it, is working right. And then if they suspect something, they have to go in with a scope, right? Angiogram, catheterization, right? To see if there's any blockages in there. I want to suggest to you that God wants us, through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, to periodically go for a checkup for our hearts spiritually, and that the Word of God will root out any blockage, and the Spirit of God will help us to get rid of that blockage so we can have a right heart with God. And we'll talk more about this next week, but if you see any bitterness, any violence, any pride, any type of heart condition that would inhibit your walk with God, it's got to be dealt with, because it will not go away unless you come clean before the Lord. So here's a question I want you to think about for next week. How can we guard our hearts? Right? Now, Doc got a new heart. Right? I'm sure he had to make some adjustments in his diet and take some medication for rejection and stuff like that. So he's guarding his heart. How do we regard our spiritual hearts? And we're going to talk about that next week. Amen? Amen. Amen. Say it like you're alive. Amen. God is good. And remember this, the moment that you and I trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he gave us a new heart. It's up to us to guard it. Amen? I'm going to ask the singers to come up, and Sharon, and we're going to close with a song that I hope will echo our hearts. Would you stand, please? Thank you. As you leave here today, please know this. God loves you. He loves us so much he sent his son to die for us. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you send us out in your power? As the eunuch left rejoicing after he came to know Christ and he was baptized, help us to rejoice in the love of Jesus Christ. And thank you for our great salvation by faith alone. We pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless. Have a great week.